Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win.
Through the city where the legends play, Chi-town vibes on a sunny day. Big red bus with the seats in line, talking Bulls all day, we stay on the grind. Rolling down the lane in the big red bus, see Red, Fred, and Doug bring the Bulls to discuss. From the Jordan days to the present fuss, it's gold in the convo, so ride with us.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing, brother?
Living the dream.
Yeah, you think I'd be in a better mood, DT, after winning 3 of 4 with some great wins there on the road against Denver, an incredible win against Portland, which had its bumps and bruises, a blowout loss to the Heat, and then a win last night. So it's 3 out of 4. But I don't know about you, man. I saw you had an ex post which seemed to indicate, hey, we should be a little bit more positive about this win. I can't get there with you, buddy. Let me hear your thoughts.
I mean, it's crazy if I have to be C Red Doug and I don't have C Red Fred next to me. I don't even know what's going on here.
It is crazy.
The world. I mean, look, it was the fifth game in 7 days. The Bulls clearly didn't have it. They're tired. They didn't play well. The Wizards, shot the crap out of the ball, and we won anyway. Like you manufactured a win. It with your D game against someone else's A game, and you're like tired and you've been traveling and you've been playing a ton of games in a short time span. And yeah, I'm just okay with that. Like, you know what? You got it. Sometimes the wins aren't pretty and you grind them out. We're 9-7 after playing like the hardest schedule in the league. Like what? I don't know. I don't know how you cannot be C Red Fred. Like, did you think we'd be 9-7? Like if you looked at our schedule start, and you're like, we're going to play the toughest schedule in the NBA, and we're going to be 9-7. Like, you wouldn't be happy with that? Of course you would.
Why was our fearless leader, Nikola Vucevic, for anyone who somehow didn't see it, after the game, they interviewed Vucevic, who was absolutely fantastic on the offensive end yesterday. Let's be honest. I thought he was the primary reason the Bulls won the game. He had a great game. And he's had a lot of great games so far this year, but clearly frustrated, clearly disgusted, and he was having none of the celebration going on behind him with it was Modest, and who else was behind him? I can't even recall.
It was Jalen Smith.
Jalen Smith, exactly. I don't know if you saw the postgame interview with Casey Johnson, but your thoughts on that, number one. And number two, why do you think he's frustrated?
I mean, clearly I didn't see it because I just guessed Jalen Smith. All right, it was a bad joke.
Very, very well done.
But, I think the Bulls looked at this game like we should just, kick these guys' ass, right? And that's kind of what we thought maybe going into this game too. You just got destroyed the previous night and against Miami. And so you kind of had this expectation of like, we're going to bounce back hard. We're playing a really bad team. We should blow them out. And, that didn't happen. It was like a struggle down to the last second. And, I think it's just like probably just has this attitude of like, look, we shouldn't be proud of this win, just like kind of your attitude. And in this scenario, I'm Jalen Smith. I'm like, hell, we got a win at the last second. And you know what? Like at the end of the day, all the wins count. They don't look at point differential when they're doing playoff standings. So, I get where he's coming from. It's like an attitude that I like to see internally that like, hey, we should have done better than we did here. But externally, I don't think Vooch looks at it like, oh, we played 5 games in 7 days. This is going to be really tough. Like, I think they just looked at it like we just got our asses kicked a day ago and we barely beat the worst team in the league today. That's not really a great 2-game stretch. And so, understandable. I don't think the locker room should be celebrating too much. Like, I'm not out celebrating the win, but, I'm like, yeah, I'm glad we got the win. And yeah, so I think that's all that is. And really the Bulls this year, if you look at like what happens when they win and lose, it's almost directly correlated to how well Vooch plays. Like, we are winning the games Vooch plays well. If you look at his splits and wins and losses, it's ridiculous how different it is. He's averaging 7 more points in the wins. His shooting percentages are like crazy high in the wins and crazy low in the losses. And so, so far, when Vooch plays well, the Bulls win. The other big one is when Giddey shoots well, we win. His numbers are pretty much the same across the board, but his efficiency is super high in the wins and super low in the losses. So those are the kind of two big things that are driving us right now, more so than anything else.
Well, that makes sense. They're two out of our, I think you would probably concur, 3 best players in Kobe, Giddey, and Vooch. And when your best players play well, you usually win. When they don't, we usually don't. I think there's possibly a deeper reason that I'll posit. And I don't know if you've read any of my ex tweets this morning, but it's something I've been thinking about a little bit after watching this past week of basketball. Have you checked them out?
I have not seen your tweets this morning.
I'm disturbed to hear that. But regardless,
well, I've not been on Twitter this morning. So
I'll give you the gist of what I was saying. Because he kept on using the term unsustainable.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I was freaking pissed after watching a game. My son had a kind of like an inter-squad game before that, so I missed the first half. I get home, I start watching it, and I'm just appalled. Doug, they gave up 70 points in the first half to a team with one win all year. A horrible offensive team. A team that I was shocked what I was seeing, how bad they were on the defensive end of the court.
I think I did see this tweet. I think I know where we're going. But proceed. Keep going.
All right. I'll proceed anyhow. And I know, some of you out there listen. Well, you're the guy who's always talking about how great Okoro is defensively. And if he's that good, this is expected when you lose your best point of attack defender. It's way worse than that. Like, we gave us 70 points the previous night with Okoro against a much better team. The issue to me is, and I think it finally hit Vooch yesterday too, is Giddey, Modest, and Vooch, they're all incredibly good offensive talents. But as a backline defense, they're an absolutely horrible combination, and it is not sustainable. So let's start with Giddey. He can't stay in front of point guards and shooting guards. He functions basically as a front court defender. He ends up guarding slower threes, bigger fours, or the weakest offensive option on the floor. That's the reality of his physical profile. He's not a perimeter stopper. And I love Giddey. I'm a Giddeyite now, full-fledged supporter. He's here in the long term. So you got to construct a roster around him. Now let's go to Vooch. Vooch, smart player, knows exactly what he is and what he isn't. He's never been a defensive anchor. He never will be. He's never had a high defensive ceiling. He's past his physical prime. He's got 2 or 3 years left. He's skilled. He's still valuable. But there's no clean way out of this defensively when you have Giddey and a declining Vooch as your last line of defense. With the exception, like, this escape hatch that we've all kind of felt was there. Well, maybe Modest takes that defensive leap. Well, I'm here to tell everybody, like, that's living in this fantasy world, that hasn't happened. And it's not even close to happening. He'll get an occasional block. People will latch on to that highlight and convince themselves that he's not that bad. But if you're actually watching these games, you'll see the truth, which is he gets physically manhandled by strong NBA forwards. He can't guard fours. He gets bumped off his spots, pushed under the rim, bullied on box outs. He's targeted simply because he isn't strong enough. And that's why Isaac Okoro starts out the game against the Magic guarding Banchero. And that's why Okoro is the guy that Billy turns to guard Lauri Markkanen when he's going off and always guarding up. You cannot win with your backline defenders being this poor. And I highlighted a play in last night's game in the first quarter, which was an absolute embarrassment. And it happens over and over and over again. So I think Vooch realizes this. And, you know, how you address this, let me just get your thoughts on this before I think, what are the next steps? Go ahead.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong about any of that. I do think Modest is going to be a very good defender in time.
Yes.
And we both said at the beginning of the season that people are getting out over their skis on him, like looking at him as a superstar now instead of a guy with still a lot of potential, but still has a long way to go. And I think that's true on both ends. You know, I'm fine with what he's done this year. I'm glad he's playing a good chunk of minutes. He shows flashes on both ends, but yeah, the consistency is not there. And that is not unsurprising to either of us. So, you know, Giddey and Vooch, also not unsurprising. And I think really the answer is you're going to get Zach Collins back, you know, at some point soon. And that's going to make a big difference, that's
gonna help.
Right? Like,
yeah.
And I don't know if we'll play Zach Collins instead of Vooch, but at least you're going to have an option, right? Like, maybe you're still going to start offense with Vooch and you're going to suck because, like, Vooch just isn't that good. You made the statement earlier that he's our third best player. Like, he's not. He's like a hot offensive player sometimes. But, like, holistically, he's not that good. Like, even his season this year, it's like, it's fine. Like, he's had some really big moments, you know, like, when he hit that game-winning three against Portland. You know, it was like the previous like 6 minutes, he was a complete disaster, you know, and it's like, you'll only remember that three, and it's fine. Like, I'm not ripping on Vooch when I say this. Okay. Like, I think Vooch is doing way better than I expected he could this year, given his age, given his limitations, given whatever. But the reality is he's just a role playing center. You know, if he's shooting well, he's got some value and he generally knows the right thing to do, and he does it as best he can, but he's like just super physically limited, and that just is what it is. And so, you know, like, if you get Collins back, at least you're gonna have the option to put in someone with more athleticism who can do more things on the defensive end, you know, to the extent he stays healthy. So I think that's like the biggest thing that's gonna help you. The other thing, I'm just gonna say it, like, we're 9-7 against the hardest schedule in the NBA. Who cares? You're playing with house money. Like, did you expect this team to be competing for the title this year with this roster? No, you didn't. They're like way ahead of your expectations, Vegas's expectations, my expectations, anyone's expectations. They're ahead of your crazy expectations, or the highest expectations of anyone I know. So, like, yeah, there's flaws and there's problems and they're not a great team. Like, who said they were? Who walked into this season thinking this is a great team? So, yeah, they're going to be inconsistent and they're not going to play all that great all the time. And their style of play is such that it's going to allow bad teams to do things against them because they're playing this, like, super high tempo. It's going to ramp up the points on both sides of the ball. They're playing this high tempo pace and it's sloppy, right? Like, you're making... Both sides are getting a lot of stuff in early offense and transition, and both sides are going to shoot a lot of threes. And you're trying to take like the defense out of the game, you know, make it like a full court track meet because you know you don't have good defenders. And so that style against really good teams, you can get them on their back foot and you can beat them. But that style against bad teams also is going to leave you open to those teams having good nights. And like that's I think the best we can do with this squad. Like this isn't a team that you should be expecting to be great right now. And we've still been missing Kobe White for most of the season. You know, he's still only played in a handful of games. We haven't had Zach Collins
games
back
yet.
So like I just don't understand the negativity or the panic. Like, this is so much better than you could have hoped for. And now it's like, well, they started off with 5 wins. So now it's like people start acting like, why aren't they a championship team? They started off with 5 wins. Why did they have this bad stretch of games? Oh, they won 3 of 4, but 2 of them were ugly. I hate this. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, what is wrong with you?
You got
like,
to talk to Mark on that one.
You're complaining about 3 of 4 when you played 5 of 7? Like, 5 games in 7 days and you're still missing important players? And you've gone off this brutal schedule and you're 9-7. Like, what did you expect out of this team going into the year? Like, they're probably on pace for like 50 wins right now.
42 wins, like I predicted. No,
like,
not.
I mean,
9-7.
I mean,
they were 1 point away from losing to the worst team.
And you know
in the
what?
NBA
they didn't
at
lose.
At home with their
they
three
didn't
best
lose.
Players.
They didn't
that.
Lose.
I know they didn't lose.
They won.
Oh my God.
So, like, they won. They yeah. found a way to win when they played really bad at the end of a stretch of a lot of games in a row coming off a brutal schedule. They now got a few days of rest. They got 3 days of rest coming up, Fred. Then they're going to play 3 of the worst teams in the league. So if you want to say, like, is this sustainable? Is this whatever? They're going to play, I think it's like the Hornets, the Pelicans, and Pacers. I forget the order, but I think those are the next three games. And then, I want them to win all 3 of these games. And if they do, they're going to be 12-7. You know, like,
yeah,
like
if they do.
Yeah, if they do. So we'll see. Like, we'll see if they can do that. This is now like, so we've given them a lot of credit for doing better than expected against a really hard schedule. Well, now is the time you're going to play a really light schedule. And you've got to, you know, you've got to not drop the rope. And so, you know what? Honestly, if they lose one of those games and they win 3 of 4 against really bad teams, I won't lose my mind over it. Like, you don't beat bad teams every single time, right? But, you know, this is a stretch. You should start doing well now. The schedule's going to balance out. Like, you've had a lot of these hard games out of your way. And so now we expect those games to kind of go in our favor. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But, like, I'm not going to, like, look at a 3 out of 4 wins and be like, oh, that's terrible. We beat, like, the Nuggets on the road, only team to beat them on the road. You know, we came in to beat Portland, who, you know, is also not, like, playing amazing, but is playing, you know, decent this year. And, you know, like, I'm okay. Like, I'm just...
Get waxed by almost, you know, losing my...
Look.
40 against Miami, which was disgraceful.
That one was rough. I got nothing for you on that one. I got nothing for you on that one, except to say, like, hey, you know, like, if you're going to lose that game, might as well lose by 40. Losing by one doesn't help you anymore. But yeah, that game, that was not a good game. The Miami Heat just got our number. I'll tell you that. Like, but yeah, whatever.
They don't just have our number. They take advantage of what I just talked about. We have no answer for them in terms of interior defense. And if you look at how many layups and how Bam Adebayo just dominated us, it was a joke. And
okay. Did you think we had a great interior defense when this season started?
Doug, I knew this has been a problem. I knew this was going to be a problem all year. I kind of came to this realization within the last 48 hours or the last 24 hours when I saw Vooch's comments, because why is he so frustrated? I realize why he's frustrated. He knows this isn't going to work. It's not. It just can't. You can't have this bad of backline defenders and expect to be a serious contender. And
we aren't a serious contender.
But that's my
everyone knows this isn't going to work. No, we shouldn't be. Not with this roster. We don't have a single defender. Like, all the things you were saying were true, and we all knew they were true, and that's why we thought they were going to win, like, high 30s, low 40s games. Because they're not a serious contender. How did you move from serious contender being the expectation this year from where you were? Like, we aren't. I agree we're not a serious contender. Like, but that isn't, like, no one thought that. At no point did anyone think we were a serious contender. And so, we're not.
That's not true. Because my counter to that is, if Giddey continued like he was in March, and Kobe White continued like he was in March, and you still had Vooch playing at a high level in this East, which I don't think is very good, you're already seeing the Bucks fall off the cliff now that they lost their best player. I did feel like, hey, maybe not a serious contender for a title, but they were at least a threat to get, you know, compete like the Pacers did last year in Eastern Conference. And after this stretch of basketball, I finally came to the realization that, you know what? You can't do it with the way this team is currently constructed, because Giddey, Vooch, and Matis are too poor as defenders, as a unit. They're all good players. They all have good aspects of their game. I agree with you, too, that Matis has a very high ceiling. But until you get a 4 who can cover for Vooch, like Aaron Gordon does for Jokic, or a 5 who can cover for Matis and Giddey, and someone who erases those mistakes, we're not even a legit, you know, to me, player playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. So that's
No shit. That's why Vegas said we were going to win 32 and a half games.
Vegas doesn't know shit. They said they'd won 28 last year. We won 39.
Yeah, fine.
Vegas.
You said we would win 43 games. A 43-win team, 42. Whatever it is, that's not an Eastern Conference Finals team, Fred. The thought about getting to the Eastern Conference Finals was not that they're so great. It was that everyone else was so terrible. That's why they would have a path there. And so, we are not so great. We aren't. No kidding. No one thinks we are.
I don't believe that. What I'm saying is, with the asterisk that if Kobe and Giddey still progress like they did last March, I thought we could be.
Well, they were terrible defenders last March. All these other things were true in March, too. We just played really bad teams, like, who are trying to lose games. Like that's still true today. Like, Giddey is giving you those things, but, like, you know, he is still not a good defender. Kobe is still not a good defender. Mata still needs probably 2 more years to be a good defender. You know, maybe he will, you know, like, so just enjoy it, dude. Why am I having to pump you up? Stop bitching. I don't want to, like.
I can't believe you're talking like this. We win by 1 point. Doug, we could easily have been, I know you're going to say, we won 3 out of 4. We were a hair's breadth from going 0-4. We did beat Denver. That's a very impressive victory. I wasn't impressed with any of the They had two other victories, once against a Portland team that was severe, had tons of injuries, and once against a Wizards team at home. And we got destroyed. What was our net total plus minus for the week? We're probably like a minus 30. Well, I don't know. I have to do the math.
Whatever it is, it's not good. I mean, we won by 3 points, 1 point, 1 point. So our total victories was by 5. We lost by 30.
Like, come on. Let's have a look into reality here. I think the issue is,
Are you upset that we
on the team and you were a lot more lower on
what
the team?
What do you feel about the loss in double overtime to Utah? Do you say like, oh, well, we almost won that one, so we get credit? No, you're like, we lost. Like, that was a super close loss. How about the loss to the Spurs where we blew it down the stretch and we were winning, like had like a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter? Or the Cavs, same thing. We just kind of like choked at the end.
They're all the same reason.
When you say these barely wins don't count. You're just saying, well, the wins we won that were close games, they don't count because they were close. How about those three losses in a row that were close? Do those not count as losses because they were close? Well, they sure as shit count as losses. So of those six games that were really close, we were 3-3.
Maybe you're right. Take that, Sylvie. Take that if you're listening. Take that, everybody else who doesn't believe in them. I can't even believe this is the most weirdest pod we've ever done because it's complete opposite spectrums. But what was happened here is a collapse in my beliefs of this team can get out of the East and a much higher expectation from you that this team was going to be terrible and they're actually going to be probably, when it's all said and done, unless they get a significant improvement in the front court defensively, they're going to be probably 7-8 again. I don't know. Play-in team? Maybe? I don't know.
I thought before the season started they were a play-in team. I want to evaluate what they do over this next stretch of games. I'm going to read this off to you. Now, to be fair, these four of these next six games are on the road. Okay, at Pelicans, at Hornets, at Pacers, at Orlando, who's good, Brooklyn at home, Pacers at home. Like, you should be pretty heavily favored in five of those six games, right? Like, you should take four of those six games. You know, like, you don't win every game you're a favorite in, so you should take four of those six games. If the Bulls do that, and they go 4-2, and we're sitting here, and they're 13-9, you know, I'm going to feel okay about them being like a 5 or 6 seed in this conference at the end of it. You know, like,
you know that every team, you know where the Bulls are at right now without looking it up?
They're at ninth.
They're at ninth. They're in the play-in again.
They're exactly right in play-in.
Do you realize the eight teams ahead of them, every single one of those teams is on a winning streak with the exception of the Knicks who've lost one game. They lost, I think, to the Magic yesterday. Not only that, the Pistons have won 12 in a row. Are you ready? Sit down. And the Raptors have won 6 in a row. The Heat have won 3 in a row. The Magic have won 3 in a row. Like, I don't know if the Bulls, the one team I would say, maybe the Sixers, I think the Bulls could catch. But every other team is playing way better than I expected, too. Like, who expected the Raptors to be
11-5? So I've not done this, okay? So this is like, not something I've actually looked at. Have you looked at the strength of schedule of all those teams?
I looked at the Raptors' strength of schedule, and it's very weak. Yes.
Yeah. So that's why I said, let's see what the Bulls are doing after they just play all these really bad teams.
Hello again, everybody.
I heard you in the background there.
I accidentally hit the wrong button and played one of our old shows.
I'm glad we've got its Inception podcast going on. Yeah. Look, I didn't have like super high. Maybe part of this is like, I don't even know if we think that differently about this team. It's just like your expectations with the hot start, like just ramped up to the moon and mine didn't. So like, I think this is a team that makes the legit playoffs this year. Whether they are the 7 or 8 seed at the end of the day, like, I think they're going to be in the actual playoffs this year. And I think they're going to have a chance to get to the second round. Like, I don't know if they'll do it or not. And that's kind of where I think this team is going to be at the end of the year. And that's a step higher than I thought at the beginning of the year. At the beginning of the year, I thought we're going to lose in the play-in. That's what I would have said before the season started. So they've like ramped up one level in my head from where they started. And so I'm like, yeah, I don't think they're an Eastern Conference Finals team either. I just thought that was like an insane bar. I mean, I even told you it was an insane bar. Like, yeah, if you squint real hard and everyone's hurt, then maybe like, it's like, that's, You know, it's like we talked about, like, well, no one scares you that much. And I, you know, I still sort of feel that way. Like, I don't look at Orlando and be like, well, there's no way we could beat them, or Atlanta or Philly. You know, even New York, Miami, yeah, Toronto, I think, is probably fool's gold, but maybe not. Like, I've not watched their games. Maybe they got some really great young people doing whatever, and they're playing really well, and that'll sustain. I don't know. But yeah, like, I'm not scared of any of the teams above us. So, like, I think we can hang with those teams. Like, I'm not saying we're better than them. I just think we can hang with any of those teams too.
I'd agree. Team, let's just throw out the Raptors. I want to run through something really quick as an exercise, because I had this conversation with someone who I consider to be an NBA expert, and he's like, in fairness to the Bulls, they've had a much tougher schedule than the Raptors. So I just assumed that was true. I want to run really quick through their entire schedule. I want you to tell me which win was not impressive. All right? So, like, just put an asterisk by it. They beat the Hawks on opening night in Atlanta by 20. I think it's an impressive win. Wouldn't you say so?
Sure.
They beat the Bucks. They lost to the Bucks the next game at home.
Yeah.
They lost to the Mavericks in Dallas.
Good win there. Good game. lost to one of the worst teams in the league. Okay.
In the third game of the season. I'm not sure if AD played. Okay. Then they lost to the Spurs. It was actually in San Antonio. Excuse me.
Okay. Yeah. Then they lost to the Rockets. I've also got the schedule up.
They beat the Cavs in Cleveland. Good win. They beat the Grizzlies at home. Not impressive, but still a win.
Sure.
They beat the Bucks at home. Impressive. Giannis was still there.
Okay.
They beat the Hawks again in Atlanta.
Okay.
They lose to the Sixers in Philly. Not a terrible loss. They beat the Nets in New Jersey. It's not impressive. Then they beat the Cavs again in Cleveland.
Okay.
Two in a row. They beat the Pacers in Indy. Not a great win. They beat the Hornets at home by two. They beat the Sixers again in Philly. They beat the Wizards by 30. And that's it. That's their schedule.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's not as impressive.
I mean, it's not as impressive as the Bulls, but it's not.
Besides, the two Cleveland wins.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that they don't have some good wins. They do. Like, they do have some good wins. But they also have, like, a bunch of easy games on that schedule. You know, like, they've got wins against the Nets, the Pacers, you know, the Hornets, and the Wizards. And they lost to, you know, the Mavericks. So they've played, like, five really bad teams on that schedule. So if you remove those five games, you know, then what is their record? Then they're 7-4, like, against kind of, like, the average teams. And that's still good, right? Like, that's still good. And, you know, like, we'll see what happens with them. You know, I'm not trying to, like rag on the Raptors. Like, they might be playing really well. I mean, obviously, you still also have to beat the teams in front of you. Like I just said, like, if the Bulls win, like, you know, 5 of 6 of these next games, you'd feel really great about them. If they play these, like, weak teams and we go 3-3, then maybe I'll be sitting next to you and, like, yeah, okay, this was fun while it lasted, but, you know, we're a play-in team again. So we'll see what happens. I think this is actually a really important stretch. You know, like, I think I'm super thrilled with how well they did at the beginning of this season in the very hard stretch. And, you know, I'm now we've got to prove it against these poor teams.
I think a lot of it depends on who's healthy. I mean, you know, Patrick Williams has sucked a lot lately, but, you know, he was out. He obviously is an important player coming off the bench. Coral was out. They lost Dalen Terry, who had a nice little streak going. You know, Kobe's still sitting out occasionally. You know,
yeah, it's hard to win games. Kobe is off the back-to-back thing in the minutes limits by the time they hit his next games, because it's, you know, it'll be like 3 days off. So hopefully that's enough where we can start just playing him every night. You know,
did you find it weird he didn't? Did you hear any reasons why? I found it weird why he didn't play on Friday.
I mean, they're just not playing him in back-to-backs. Is what they said.
So they chose to play him again. Oh, interesting. Well, hopefully that won't be going on for much longer, because we do definitely need him. And he still is playing, although I thought he had two really, really strong games in his first two games. I mean, he was averaging like 27 points over two games.
Am I missing something? Or they have not really said like anything about Zach Collins yet?
I think in the show yesterday, they said he's really close coming back.
Okay. Yeah. Because I remember so I just looked it up, you know, while we're talking. October 18th, they said we'll reevaluate him in 4 weeks. Now, like, a fracture is something that has usually a pretty discreet, you know, recovery time, right? It's not a soft tissue injury. The bone heals and then it's fine. Like, you know, it's not like you're building up all this muscle or you got to worry about, you know, re-injuring it once it's healed. You just got to make sure the bone is like solidly healed. And it, you know, like at one point they're like, he's kind of coming back. He's getting close, but like they've just feels like you would think there'd be more about it. Like yeah. I think when I like Google Zach Collins, like something would come up on the first three hits of Google saying like, yeah, he's going to like, hoping to be back in like, you know, on this next stretch or something, you know, like it just seems a little weird. Maybe that's just bad Google results though. And the news is all out there, but you would think like one of our beat writers or something would have, just this would be just like a more common thing.
I agree. Yeah. Hopefully he'll be back. And I agree with you. Like the next stretch is very important. I like to kind of judge a team based on quarter stretches. So let's see. Let's do the math. What would a quarter stretch be? About 21 games, let's say. Maybe a little bit less than that for the Bulls. And they're at 9-7 in the first 16 games. So the next five games, let's look and see who they play. They play the Pelicans, the Hornets, the Pacers in Indiana, the Magic on the road, and the Nets at home. Like, I really want to see them go 4-1 in that schedule. I think that would put them at, what, 13-8, which is not a bad start for where we expected this team to be.
I mean, I feel like I literally just said the exact same thing like 5 minutes ago. Like, I even read off the schedule.
Well, yeah, but you didn't add the context.
I didn't have the context about quarters. Yeah, that's true.
Quarters,
that's true.
Yeah.
When you put it, the first when you quarter. Put it that way, it was a high value add.
It makes it more entertaining. All right, but DT, I only got a few minutes left. Any other final thoughts? I guess the AD thing, we've been ridiculed enough. I think our points were made on that. Like, to me, it's just like, hey, we've chosen a direction to compete. We're not going to play for a lottery pick and a loaded draft. If we've taken that direction, well, let's get serious about it then. Like, you know, I don't feel like, and you always had the caveat, maybe in the segment I shared, it wasn't there, that like, hey, I'll do this deal if it doesn't cost us a lot. And I think it's possible we could absolutely do the deal and it wouldn't cost us a lot. So I don't understand this general idea, like people are clutching their pearls over draft picks when, if as long as you protect them, the Bulls aren't going to have that high of a pick anyhow. Yeah. They haven't been top 10 in a while, right?
All I would say about the 80 things, like, and I think people get very binary about it. Like, I would buy AD if it's for basically nothing. And I think there's a chance it's going to be for basically nothing. And if it is, it's okay. And like, I think he's probably going to be a bad contract, but it's just like, you just need to take some type of risks. And I'm also okay. Like, if you're just like, no, we want to go in the draft. Well, then what are we doing now? You know, like it's like, if you want to go in the draft, you should have made moves to get deep into the draft last year. And you should have done that this year too. You like trade Kobe White. You know, like, if you actually want to play this game of getting into the draft, then you have to start doing all these things to get lots of draft picks, use your cap space to get draft picks. You know, like you start aiming for like 3 years from now. Like even just trade Josh Giddey, like at the deadline. Be like, all right, like if his value has gotten up where you could get like three picks for him or something, and he's playing like an all-star, you know, then and he's on a super cheap contract, like he might have a ton of trade value. Like you have to pick a direction and then go strongly in it. Like you can't just like, oh, we'll waffle around and then we're going to try to add, like you have a bunch of good players now. Like, so you have to add like a really great player to make a difference. And if you're not doing anything that's going to get you a great player, then what are you doing? So like, do I think the AD is going to work out like that? Probably not. But if the cost is our 2026 pick, which is going to be like 14 or 15 or 16, and the Portland pick, which is probably going to be a second rounder, like at some point in the future. And after this year, you still have all control of all your picks, then so be it. Like, you know, like I don't think it's going to work, but like, I don't think what else we're doing now is going to work either. So like, you know, it's like, it's only if you're buying low and also only if AD gets back on the court and shows he can play and looks healthy. Like those are the two things. And the Bulls have a good record at the time you make the trade, right? Like if the Bulls somehow tank badly and, you know, they end up and they're like 15-23 or something, then I'm also not going to do this trade. But if they're sitting there and they're like 22-17 or something like that, and AD has been healthy for 15 games and looks really good, and you can get him for like nothing, yeah, that's a scenario where you can seriously look at that. So, you know, I wouldn't like do the trade today, but like I certainly wouldn't say no today that I might not do it in 2 months. Like, yeah, absolutely, I might do it in 2 months.
Even if we do get him, there's all this, well, he never plays. And you know, my counter to that is I don't want him to play during the regular season. Treat him with kid gloves. Rest him every other game. I don't care. All that matters is he 100% healthy going into the playoffs? And now we're cooking with gas.
Yeah. We have to play him. You got to play him enough to get everyone together, though. So I would just say, like, yeah, if I had AD, I might be like you're on a no back-to-back, like, schedule for the rest of the year. And I just, like, keep his minutes at, like, no more than 32 a game. And just be like, hey, you know, like, that's not, like, total kid gloves, but it's enough kid gloves to probably, you know, keep them in good shape. You hope.
Exactly. We have a deep enough team, even in a trade to Dallas. I know some of the depth will probably suffer because you're going to have to send somebody over there. But that said, even if you send one or two pieces, you're still going to have enough depth to sit him out occasionally and limit his minutes. And that's a good thing. So I don't know. I just don't understand the whole rationale or thinking or anger by, oh, AD sucks. Like, AD does not suck. Like, you haven't been paying attention if you think this guy sucks. He was incredible last year at times during the season. Yes, he got hurt. He always does. And a lot of good players do, unfortunately, in today's NBA. But, man, if you can somehow get him roaring playoff time, I think we could be cooking with gas here. Last comment is on Herter. Herter's down to 30%, Doug, from three. On almost five attempts a game. I don't know what's up with this guy, but, like, he is playing awful when it comes to his most important attribute, which is allegedly shooting a three. I don't know what any comments on Kevin Herter.
I mean, I think my comment before is he's just nowhere near as good a three-point shooter as people think he is. And that seems true. That said, this is the worst he's shot, like, in his career. So that's not good. And maybe we should look at this, like you said, with a coral. Like, this is the worst he's ever shot. He's a 37% three-point shooter.
No, that's not true, though, Doug. Believe it or not, for the first 43 games last year for Sacramento, he shot 30.2%.
Well, that wasn't the whole season, was it?
No.
So for the whole season,
he's shooting 30.3%.
The worst he shot for a whole season prior to this was 33.8%. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe this is, like I said, you said with a coral, like, well, ask me in 10 games, you know, or whatever. And sure enough, like, a coral's stats bounce back a lot, right?
Yep.
You know, I expect that Herter will shoot better than this. Like, I mean, I don't think he's a 30% three-point shooter. But then sometimes guys have, like, terrible seasons, right? Like, remember Vooch had that 29% season from three? Like,
tried to block that out. Yeah,
and then,
exactly.
You know, and then, we, like, all got to ignore that. Year, like, the next year he came back and shot, like, 35%, which was still not amazing, 40. But was a lot better. And I think the year after that he was 40.
No. Doug, he went from 29 to 40.
Okay.
Again, I'll say it 100 times, one of the most incredible turnarounds for a three-point shooter I've ever seen. So that said, you know, congrats to Vooch. He actually put in, obviously, a lot.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It was 35 was the year before. He had, like, the three-year stretch. It was, like, 31.4.
Terrible.
34.9, 29.4. Like, that three-year stretch was just
terrible.
Brutal. And then,
yes.
then last year, 40%, and this year, 40%. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. Like, percentage, like we've talked about, sometimes is not always the best indicator, too, because it doesn't take into account volume and shot difficulty. Like, Vooch has really low shot difficulty. But Herter has sometimes, like, higher shot difficulty. Like, he takes more quick-release threes. Like, he's not just sitting there wide open like Vooch is. So, you know, for him, maybe he just needs to tone down a few of the harder attempts, you know, get his feet underneath him and focus on that and then ramp the temps up as he gets a little hotter. But I expect he'll be better than this. Like, I don't think he's going to be 40%, but I expect he'll be better than this as the season goes on.
I would say a lot of that's on Kevin Herter. I've been consistently frustrated with some of his shot selection this year, and I don't know what's up with him. So,
well, we don't have a lot of shot creators, right? Like, that's part of it is, like, well, who's going to create a shot?
We have two. How many do you need? You have Kobe White, and
Kobe hasn't played most of the games. So yeah, it's like, yeah, true, when Kobe enough. Was playing,
Josh,
like, I think Kevin Herter was trying to make up a little bit of the Kobe White role in some of those minutes. And, you know, like, I just think that's part of it, right? Like, he's not been able to be in more of a shooting specialist role. He's had to take on a little bit more offensive creation capabilities that are maybe beyond what he's really capable of just because of, you know, the roster we were entering the games with.
Final note before we bring the bus in. Will Gottlieb had an interesting quote from Billy Donovan's press conference yesterday. And the quote is, quote, I don't know if you saw this. People talk about They want to win. They want to win. I'd like to go to the moon. I have no interest in becoming an astronaut or what it takes to become an astronaut, end quote. No, it's not an end quote. If you want to win, there's things you have to do on a consistent basis, end quote. And then I asked Will, who do you think he was referring to here, Will? And then he replied, everyone. And I don't agree with Will on that. It's definitely not everyone. I think there's some guys on this team that have proven over the years they know what it takes to win and they put in an effort to, you know, to get there. He's not talking about Vooch. Let's put it that way. Like, Vooch knows what it takes to win. Whether or not he can get there is another discussion.
Well, Vooch has definitely been a winner his whole career. There was that one time he won 42 games. And there was that other time on the Bulls where he won 46. So he has had experience, I think, one playoff win so far. So he's got that going for him.
Are you telling me you think Billy's referring to
I think Billy Donovan loves Vooch like a son. Like,
I think he loves Trey Jones like a son. I think he likes Okoro to a certain extent.
I think
there's certain players he's not referring to. Who's he referring to?
I don't know. I mean, I think Jalen Smith for sure.
I think he's referring to Modest. For sure. That's exactly what he's referring to, because that guy is a really good talker. Everything he says, I'm always nodding my head. I don't know, man. Just rubbed me a little bit wrong. And a couple of things, his reaction after Vooch yesterday, I just drove me nuts. I was pissed off. And then, you know, just some of the stuff I saw in pregame. I think he's talking about Modest there. So maybe Will's right. Maybe he was referring to everyone in a general sense. I think there's a lot of us in this huge crowd of Modest can do no wrong fans that just wonder, like, come on, he's still a kid. He's got a lot to learn, you know. So obviously I'm cutting him slack. I'm not saying, oh, he needs to be, you know, from A to Z immediately. But I think he was talking about Modest there.
I think so, too. I mean, I think he was talking about more guys. I think, to be honest, what I think it is he was just talking about, we almost lost to the freaking Wizards. And I'm just frustrated. And it's like he's so close to it. Like, I think sometimes when you're that close to stuff, like, you start putting emphasis on things that aren't really true because they're the things you control. And so it's like, every coach, no coach ever is like, well, it's a make or miss league. You know, like, sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't. It's always about like, oh, well, if we lost, we didn't play hard enough. Well, you know, like, the other team's playing really hard too. You know, like, it's not always, like, people always, like, they will always just say, like, it's effort or it's this or it's that or it's attention to detail or it's like whatever, when, like, just the lucky break doesn't go your way. Like people attach, like, a lot more causality, I think, to, like, insignificant events, you know, and pretend, like, if only I tried harder or was more prepared, that, like, this thing wouldn't have happened. Because you want to control life, right? Like, we all want to control life, and life is often out of our control. And, you know, so, like, I just think part of it is, like, it's just, I actually don't know that it even means anything, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, I think it was just a thing to say when you were frustrated about a game where you felt the team should have played way better than they did, and they didn't. And then so you're gonna be like, oh, they're just not focused or trying hard enough. When, like, the reality is they're probably tired from, you know, fifth game in 7 days, lots of travel, missing guys, you know, lineups constantly changing. And, you know, like, it's just, like, that's just how it is sometimes. Like, it's not just like, oh, if you just try hard, you're going to win. Like, that's just not how things go. Everyone's trying hard, you know, for the
most part. Maybe that's what his intention. I'd also counter that maybe his intention was, hey, Modest, you talk a really good game. How you want to be coached, how you want to get better. I'm seeing a lot of the same mistakes I've been talking about for a year. You need to stop with the talking and start with the doing. I think maybe it's more along that line.
Yeah, Fred, if I just said to you, I want you to be great at calculus. Maybe you're great at calculus. I have no idea, actually. And you talked about how you wanted to be great at calculus, like, but you were like three math classes away and like you'd only done college algebra and you got to go learn trig and pre-calc and all this other stuff. Like, you could talk about it all you want. Like, it's like Modest just isn't going to snap his fingers and like stop making mistakes. Like, there's just like, I'm sure he's trying. Do you think Modest is not trying?
No.
Like, yeah.
No,
so, I'm not saying so what that. I mean is, I know. So what I'm saying is, it's like harping on it. It's fine. Like, you should always be coaching him. You should be coaching him hard. But then, like, the fact that you're coaching him hard is not going to make any of that stuff stop. What's going to make that stuff stop is 2 more years. Like, that's it. Like, so
maybe.
So it's fine. Like, yeah, keep coaching him hard
after that.
Oh, yeah. We celebrated a win. What a dick. I freaking hate these guys celebrating wins, being excited at the last second, winning 3 or 4. These guys, jerks, all of them, freaking losers.
Doug, come on, listen. You're
going to calm me down.
True winning team is going to be celebrating like that after beating the one.
We're going to change your name. See,
maybe you're right. Brett. I think Mark's had a horrible. I swear to God, that guy, every time he'll send out a tweet, I'm just like, oh man, it's just so frustrating. Regardless, everybody, please check out. Did you check out any of my songs, dude?
No, I've got five songs.
Doug, I wrote a song about the Big Red Bus, and I talked about you in there.
That's fantastic news.
And you only hear the first part, but the second part, my name is C. Red Fred with the Podfather on the Big Red Bus. It took me like days to write this song. You got to check it out. Everybody check it out. Give me your feedback.
It took you days to come up
That's
with.
That's one of the 20.
I'm C. Red Fred with the Podfather on the Big Red Bus. That was days of work.
No,
I want to be clear about that.
Doug, listen to the song and tell me if it's not good. I think it's really good. Check it out. Climb aboard.
I do want to listen to your songs. I'm actually not trying to troll you. I've just been.
I got you.
Busy.
I understand.
It's been crazy.
But over this holiday and Thanksgiving, I want you and everyone else to go to whatever platform it is. Search for C. Red Fred, and under there, you're going to find the song called "Quote Unquote Climb Aboard the Big Red Bus," which is a song I wrote about you and me. And then driving the bus. And then the other song I wrote, which I'm very proud of, is "Shoot the Three," which is a message to Patrick Williams. So it's another good one. You didn't even listen to that one? That was brilliant. Oh my
Fantastic.
God.
I no one talks about your own brilliance like you, which is my favorite thing about you. I will give you a guarantee. I will listen to at least one of your songs right after I stop recording this and get this over.
Climb aboard.
Which
the big
one
red
do you
bus,
want me to listen to first? Climb
big
aboard
red
the
bus,
red bed
yeah.
bus. Guarantee.
And,
it's a promise
and
from me.
And wait to the middle part. I refer to you, and I'm talking about us in general. So
all right, I will headbang or bob
it's more
my head
soft
or whatever
rock.
I have to do to like so, you know, groove with yeah. this music while listening.
All right, buddy.
Soft rock. All right. I'll get a cavity filled or
something. Yeah, and people are asking, is that your voice? No, it's not my. I sang the song. I send it to the producer, who then changes my song using the magic of AI. And so it's my voice, and I have to hit all the notes, and I play the guitar, and I have to write all that information and write the lyrics. All that's mine. But no, that's not my voice. I am going to sing on one song. There's one song I have that I really like, and I'm not a terrible singer. I'm just average. But that song was so good that I said, you know what? I want a professional singer to handle this, and man, did they help me out with it. It sounds great. Anyhow, on that note, let's bring in the BRB. Everyone, if we don't do a show before the end of the week, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Love you guys. Thanks so much for listening to the show. And until next time, go Bulls.
Go Bulls.